Chapter 9, Mystery and Bumps. Excitement prevailed at Happy Hollow. The five Farnsworth children had been put to bed early. As Mother Sally left her eldest boys, she warned, "Father is going to have an important meeting. You are not to be seen or heard. Go right to sleep." John and Stephen lay side by side on the high feather tick. They knew better than to have a pillow fight tonight. Suddenly Stephen poked John. "I'm sure I heard Uncle Daniel laughing. Do you suppose he and Aunt Mary are here?" "Why do we have to go to bed now?" pouted John. "I'm 8 years old and you are 6. The babies are asleep, and most likely Josephine is asleep already. I'm going to see what's going on." Promptly, John slipped out of bed. "I'll tell Mother on you," Stephen's whisper was loud. John tiptoed to the window. "Shh," was all the sound he made as he motioned his brother to follow. Stephen pushed back the covers and slid down the side of the bed. It was a long way to the floor. Suddenly, his feet hit with a thump. "Shh," warned John. "I'm being quiet," Stephen said crossly, forgetting to whisper. Every board in the floor seemed to squeak and groan as he took long steps trying to be quiet. "You are as clumsy as an ox." John gave Stephen a poke in the ribs. "Ouch!" yelled the younger brother. "Mother will be up here in a minute. You know what will happen to us then," warned John. The thought of what might happen sent Stephen hurrying back into bed. "You're the one that will get the whipping. Besides, the window's too high for me to see out of anyway." Stephen snuggled down into bed, closed his eyes, and wished that Mother would open the door right then. John could see over the window ledge and down into the yard. "Why are so many people here?" he asked himself. He could see the dark outlines of horses tied under the trees. They whinnied softly to one another. One horse was pawing the ground impatiently. There were wagons and carts parked in the road at the side of the house. Out by the front gate, he recognized Mr. Stowell's horse, and he almost shouted when he saw Grandpa Farnsworth's two big oxen, Patches and Blackie. They were yoked to the light ox cart. Grandpa must be downstairs. Did he bring Uncle Cyrus? Did Uncle Newell Mead come too? John listened to the murmur of voices below. Who were they? What were they doing? Why had they come? It seemed to him that he had to know the answer. He tiptoed to the door and opened it so slowly that it did not creak. He turned to look at Stephen, but Stephen's eyes were closed. He did not move. Good, he's asleep, thought John. He took one step and peered down the steep, dark stairway. He was glad the living room door was slightly open. I can sneak down and stand behind the door. Then I can see who is here and hear what they say. Carefully, John edged his way down one step and then another. Now he could hear the voices plainly. A deep voice said, "This is a splendid idea. You can count on me." The shaky voice of an older man added, "My wife is going to be happy about this. The long trips to the church on Sunday wear her out." A strong voice spoke, "We can have this whole thing finished in a few weeks. What do you say, neighbors?" Everyone began talking at once. It was noisy in the living room. John took another step down. He had only 4 more to go. Suddenly, a large something came rolling down the stairs. It was too dark in the hallway for John to see what it was. He tried to jump out of its way, but it struck him, knocking him down. That something was on top of him. Now he was on top of it. Over and over they went with a loud thump and a bump on each of the remaining steps. That something was Stephen. Legs and arms and heads were tangled together. John wanted to cry with pain and the suddenness of it all. He wanted to shout, "Nobody but you, Stephen Farnsworth, could be so clumsy." He knew he mustn't waste time talking. He must get himself untangled and helped Stephen upstairs quickly before Mother came to see what had made the racket. Had he been too slow? A figure stepped from the living room and lighted a candle and closed the door. It was Aunt Mary. Her pretty young face was worried as she knelt down beside the boys and asked, "Are you hurt? Are you hurt?" "This clumsy ox knocked me downstairs," said John. By now the boys had discovered who owned which legs and arms, and they had freed themselves of each other. "He may be clumsy," whispered Aunt Mary, "but he's mighty brave." John looked at his younger brother. Stephen was holding one hand tightly over his mouth. Not a sound was escaping, but tears were running down his sad face. All at once, John felt ashamed of himself. "I'm sorry you're hurt," he whispered kindly. "It is all my fault. I should have stayed in bed." Aunt Mary helped them upstairs. She rubbed Stephen's sore arm and the bump on his forehead. Then she rubbed John's neck. "Didn't anyone hear us?" Stephen was anxious. "I think I was the only one," she answered. "I was sitting by the door." "Who are all these people? And what are they doing here? Please tell us," begged John. "Most of the farmers living in this part of Washington are downstairs. They are planning on building a church nearby. You see, it's like this. There are many more people living around here than there were 20 years ago, and it's a long way to the church in Washington Village. Some of the older people are unable to attend church, especially in winter. It is hard for mothers with babies and small children to be gone for 5 or 6 hours every Sunday." "It's hard for me, too," sighed Stephen. "Sometimes I'm shivering by the time we get to church. And then my foot stove gets cold. Mother wraps me up in a quilt, but by the time the minister has preached for 3 hours, I'm as cold as a chunk of ice. I hope they put a great big stove in the church they built. I hope the preacher won't talk for more than 2 hours." Such shocking words for a little boy to say. "Oh, Stephen, keep still. Don't you know it's wicked to talk that way?" "Take back everything you said," demanded John. "I can't take it back," answered Stephen stoutly. "Don't you wish church lasted only 2 hours? Don't you now? Don't you?" John didn't answer. He was too busy thinking about a church that would be warm, a church that would last only 2 hours, a sermon he could understand. He hardly heard Aunt Mary whisper, "Good night, boys. Better get to sleep quickly." The next morning, Mother Sally eyed up and down her 2 eldest sons. She saw the black and blue marks on their arms and faces. "Have you boys been fighting?" she demanded. "No, Mother. Of course not." "What happened then?"
"Nothing."
"Nothing happened? You both look as if you had fallen down the stairs." John and Stephen looked at each other and giggled. There was a tiny smile at the corner of Mother's mouth and a twinkle in her eyes. She asked no more questions. That night, 32 farmers signed an agreement to build a meeting house. "We are all Christians," they said. "We will call ourselves the Christian Society." Everyone donated something for the new church. Then they began to work. In only 2 or 3 weeks, they had a pretty little white church ready for use. Stephen wasn't the only one who was thrilled with the 2 big twin stoves that stood in the back of the room, one in each corner. Their round black stovepipes ran up so near the ceiling and then clear to the front of the church, spreading warmth all the way, before disappearing outside. "Since we are the Christian Society, let's name this building the Christian Church," someone suggested. They all agreed. This Christian Church, built cheerfully and willingly in 1841 by these pioneers, later became known as the First Seventh-day Adventist Church in the world.